Our first reading today comes from Acts chapter 9, verses 36 through 41. Now in Joppa, there was a disciple whose name was Tabitha, which in Greek is Dorcas. She was devoted to good works and acts of charity. At that time, she became ill and died. When they had washed her and laid her in a room upstairs, since Lydia was near Joppa, the disciples who heard that Peter was there sent two men to him with the request, "Please come to us without delay." So Peter got up and went with them. And when he arrived, they took him to the room upstairs. All the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing tunics and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was with them. Peter put all of them outside, and then he knelt down and prayed. He turned to the body and said, "Tabitha, get up." Then she opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He gave her his hand, and he helped her up. Then, calling the saints and widows, he showed her to be alive. Our gospel reading today comes from John chapter 10, verses 22 through 25. At that time, the festival of the dedication took place in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I have told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name testify to me." This is the word of God for the people of God.
We hear that as Jesus was in the temple walking around, some people had some questions for him. He doesn't directly answer them. Instead, what he does is he simply points to what he's been doing. And then he says, to look at the works. The works that I do in my Father's name testify to me. Sometimes today we hear the phrase body of work. And whenever we use that phrase, we're talking about, look at the totality of what someone is doing. Not just one or two things, but to look at the whole scope of all that's going on. There's more than just one or two things that we need to consider. And so Jesus says, consider it all that he has been doing. Look at what he says and what he does. Now that's helpful. It's also hopeful for us as a church. It's possible to look at one church or any church and pick at the mistakes that that church has made. And the church has made mistakes, miscues, even abuses. But don't look at only those things. Instead, consider the whole body of work. And that's true for all of us and for all of our churches and for the church as a whole. And we start looking at that whole body of work of the church in the book of Acts, because that is where the story of the church begins. And so about 35 miles northwest of Jerusalem, the work of Jesus is continuing in the church in the city of Joppa. Joppa is a major port city. It's on the Mediterranean coast. It's located not only in that coastal area, but on a trade route. Ancient Joppa is now part of modern-day Tel Aviv, and it's still an important place. The church that was there in Joppa in the first century, in that day, almost always the churches met in the home of someone who had a house large enough for the church to meet at. In fact, we get a little hint of the church in Joppa by hearing of an upper story in a building. That indicates that it's a reasonably large house. And Most biblical scholars think the house actually belongs to Dorcas, that she hosts the church in her home. If you read along, you heard it flipping back and forth between the name Dorcas and the name Tabitha, and both of those names mean the same thing. In Greek, Dorcas means gazelle, and in Hebrew, Tabitha means gazelle. What do we know about Dorcas? A woman. Particularly for us to consider on Mother's Day. Well, we learn that she was devoted to good works and to charity. Charity means giving money. But it wasn't just the money, she had other things. Her body of work included as well as hosting the church, as well as giving money, getting her own hands involved, making clothing. Now, it could be that clothing was her business, because it was also true that a house was the place where people often worked out of as a shop, or even what we might understand today as a quote-unquote factory, a place where something was done. And that was not at all uncommon. If that's the case, then here is one building in Joppa that is functioning as a house, as a factory, and as a church. And Dorcas is in the middle of all of that, because not only does she make clothes, she tends to women in need, widows. There's another clue there to her body of work, and it tells us something about the work of the church. Widows were among the poorest, and if they had no children, they had no help. But Dorcas has seen to it that these widows have clothing. And then there's one more clue that the scripture gives us about Dorcas. She is called a disciple. And that's truly a significant thing. In fact, the word itself gives us a clue just how important Dorcas had become. The word disciple can be used generically just to refer to a group of followers. It means followers. But whenever it is used in that way, the word is written in the Greek language in plural, and Greek, like a lot of languages that you might have studied, has male and female endings. But to focus on Tabitha and to call her a disciple uses the feminine form of the word, and this is the only place in the entire Bible that form of the word disciple is used. And the people who study those things, that stands out. To call her a disciple is to tell us she is a true follower of Jesus. And the church has expanded to this city of Joppa, and she's in the middle involved in all of it. And it tells us the church is doing things like taking care of those in need. And that the church benefits from people who give their time and their effort and their wealth to do something as a follower of Jesus. And Dorcas is doing all of that. But Dorcas dies. And the widows don't know what they're going to do. And so they contact Peter. And Peter comes without delay. Now, the whole point of this story in the book of Acts is really to tell us that the work of Jesus is continuing. It's continuing through his followers, through Peter as the leader of the church, through others. But here Peter comes, and the work of Jesus is going to continue through these examples of Peter's work. And Peter does something that Jesus did in his time, in his ministry. He sees to it that people are healed. In fact, there's two stories of Peter healing that are very close together. Just before he gets to Joppa, he's in another small town, and he heals a man whose name is Enos. And then Enos becomes a follower. But then this word to go heal Dorcas. And in a longer, more detailed story, we hear about not only the work of Jesus continuing through Peter, but how the work of Jesus has continued in an established Christian community. And what goes on there is not just simply a healing of someone who has been ill, but a healing of someone who has died, a resurrection. And in this season of Easter, the season of resurrection, we are reminded that new life comes, and Peter officiates at this, doing the work of Jesus. But Acts is not just about giving us these little hints of what's going on. It's about reminding us that the work continues in the church, in us. As Acts begin, Jesus commissions the disciples, and he says to them, "You are my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." So Jerusalem, Judea is the area surrounding Jerusalem. Samaria is the next region, and then to the ends of the earth. So then we find Peter, who has made his way all the way to Joppa, at the edge of the land, and to the north lies Europe, to the south lies Africa, and the work will spread to those areas. In an unbroken and continuous line, the work of the gospel has spread throughout the whole world. And it has reached places. The choice of that hymn that was new to all of us is a striking example of that. Yes, Christianity reached all the way to Japan. And yes, Christianity has reached all the way to the New World, to places like where we find ourselves. And like Dorcas, we find ourselves being given the work of Jesus to do. Now, Peter is well known for doing the work of Jesus. And we remember and we celebrate the work that Peter does. But we're reminded by this story in Acts that there are others. Many of them we don't know who they are by name, but we do know some. And Dorcas, a disciple in Joppa, is one of those whose names we know. The challenge then falls on us to recognize that the work continues in our time and in our place. It's a good reminder to us, particularly as Methodists, that the work of Jesus is never dependent on only one person. And certainly not just dependent solely on a pastor. It's one of the great gifts of Methodism to the rest of the world, to the rest of the church, that one pastor goes, another pastor comes. The work of Jesus is what's important. That's what continues. Sometimes you hear of some of these very large churches that are sometimes called mega churches that have a really strong and charismatic leader. And the problem comes is what happens when that leader moves on or when that leader dies. It's almost as if the church falls apart. The work of Jesus just stops. And we never want to see that happen. Maybe that's what the widows are worried about in Joppa. Who's going to continue the work if Dorcas has died? She certainly has been very key in what has been going on there. And without her, they don't know if they can continue. So they call for Peter, and he comes and he restores Dorcas. But it is worth noting this. while Dorcas is raised to life, unlike Jesus' resurrection, hers is more of a resuscitation. Eventually, even though that's not recorded in Scripture, Dorcas does die. In fact, there is a church that is located in the Joppa suburb of Tel Aviv that is called the Orthodox Church of St. Peter and St. Tabitha. And in the crypt of that church is the burial place of Dorcas. But the church is there. The church is doing the work, like our church does the work that Jesus gives us to do. The work continues throughout the world. Now, it's really appropriate for us on Mother's Day to consider Dorcas. She certainly could be called one of the mothers of the church, not just simply in Joppa, but one of the examples of how women stepped into the work of the church, doing the work of Jesus in their time and in their place. She is a leader in the church. She works with the poor. It's instructive to us about the work of the church that we ourselves are committed to. And women are undoubtedly an important part of the work of the church. In fact, many churches would find it very difficult to do their work without the work of the women taking place in the church. Now, last week I said that the elephant in the room was recognizing for this church there is a pastoral change indicated, meaning me. Well, if that was the elephant in the room last week, the elephant in the room this week is recognizing that the pastor projected to follow me at Wesley is a woman named Ginger, short for Virginia. And most of you may recognize, particularly if you go out in the hallway, that in Wesley's history there have been two other pastors who were women. But it's been a while. And sometimes that change, which in many ways seems still a little unusual in our day, is a cause for consternation or concern. It's not true only in one place. It's true in many places. In fact, one of the things that I'm privileged to do for Holston Conference is to serve on a committee that's called the Committee on Sexual Ethics and Boundaries. And one of the responsibilities of that particular committee is to help churches that are receiving a female pastor, mostly churches that are doing that for the first time. But if it's been a while, it simply is a good reminder to all of us that just like Dorcas, the work of the church continues in our day, often through women who are responding to the call of Jesus. We are in a conference in United Methodism that has a female bishop, Bishop Deborah Wallace Paget. We are in a district of that conference, the Three Rivers District, that has a female superintendent, Lori Jo Cranford. And this church will be a church, like several others, that will have a female pastor. And I know and I trust that the people of Wesley will give Ginger a good and warm welcome, recognizing the work that everyone is called to do, the work of Jesus that continues. And that work is always challenging. It always is, there's always more of it that we find that we need to do. It is always a challenge. But sometimes it can be made even more challenging when we just don't seem to want to work together. that can be a problem. I want us to avoid that problem. I want to see Wesley grow and do well and thrive. It's a wonderful church. Therefore, it's always kind of good to have a little bit of a heads up and a warning that sometimes we can make it hard on others. The annual conference a couple of years ago produced a short video. It's a little over 4 minutes long, but I want you to take a look at this video, about a minute's worth or so of it. Phil is going to put it up on the screen.
That sermon would have been a lot better if you had been wearing earrings.
As I was standing in the narthex talking to new church members, an older member came up behind me and grabbed my bottom, saying to the new members, "Isn't your pastor a babe? Isn't she pretty?" said about me by my senior pastor on a regular basis.
"You have one strike against you. You're a female pastor. At least you're not colored. That is a plus."
"You're so beautiful, it won't matter what you preach, or even if you're any good. No one's going to be paying attention to your words anyway."
I know some of those guys who are up there reading those lines. I also know some of the women who originally said those. It's distressing to think that that sort of thing could take place, but these are not from long ago. These are things that people in churches, in United Methodist churches, have said to or about their female pastors. Do you see how that can interfere with the work of Jesus? Do you see how that can distract the church from doing what it needs to do? It maybe was not a problem in Joppa. Certainly it wasn't a problem if Dorcas was one of the major benefactors of the church, but it could be a problem in other places. Maybe so much so that Paul, in writing to the churches of Galatia, finds need to make this statement to remind them, to remind us. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female. For all of you are one in Christ Jesus. You see, Jesus is what matters. In the church, it is always Jesus who matters. What it is that Jesus says, what it is that Jesus does, who Jesus is, that's what matters. And we are to pattern ourselves after what we see in Jesus. We're to try and match our words to match the words of Jesus and our actions to match the actions of Jesus, and to try ourselves to be the followers who do as Jesus does. And harassing anyone, giving anyone grief, dehumanizing anyone is not what Jesus wants. And it's especially a good reminder on Mother's Day to think about the role of women. Now, not everyone has a tremendous, great relationship with their mother. I know I've heard stories, many stories over the years of people who tell me about how their mother was not the kind of person that a mother should be. I've got a good friend who agonizes over this every year. And almost every year we'll talk just to help deal with the situation. But the good news of Easter is that the work of Jesus Christ does continue. And it does continue from those who hear the call of Christ to do the work. Some of those are clergy and some of those are laity. The work continues in the church for the sake of the world because the work is too important not to continue. And we get to be part of it. And to inspire us, to encourage us, to strengthen us, we have before us today the example of Dorcas. Dorcas heard Jesus call. Well, one of the things that Jesus said, if you remember, was how important it was to see to it to clothe those without adequate clothes. Clothing those in need, feeding the hungry, welcoming the stranger, taking care of the sick and needy. All of that is the work of Jesus. Hungering and thirsting for righteousness, being a peacemaker, recognizing within ourselves a poverty of spirit, being kind and merciful and pure in heart. All of that is the work of Jesus. Repentance and forgiveness of sins. That's the work of Jesus. And the work of Jesus continues. It continues here in this church. It continues through all of you who gather and who are sent out into the world in the name of Jesus. The work goes on. And thanks be to God, we all get to be a part of it. Let us pray. Almighty God, of goodness and mercy, you have continued the work of Jesus through the church that you have called into being in his name. Grant that we may joyfully and diligently work together in this church to share the good news of Jesus Christ, crucified and risen. Grow us in compassion for the world and in care for each other so that we may all work together for the sake of your kingdom in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.